We sweat, basically. We've evolved to sweat in order to cool us down. That is the function of sweat. So, sweating cools our body temperature down. Sweat also, excrete things from our body, harmful substances, so we can excrete them through the sweat glands. So, sweating is important. And people who, there is actually a condition which is called anhidrosis, which means that people don't sweat. And when people don't sweat, then that can actually be a problem because they can overheat. But that tends to be associated with other things, issues with the hair and the teeth, genetic conditions.
Okay, I'll ask you more about that soon. What's sweat made up of?
Sweat is made up of water, and then there are electrolytes, so various chemicals, sodium chloride, other chemicals that we excrete in our sweat. We can excrete other things in our sweat. For instance, if you've spicy spices and things like that. So sometimes people's sweat can smell differently. Our sweat is also acted upon by bacteria. And so that can cause part of the odor. And we sweat from glands that are called the eccrine sweat glands. And the highest concentration of the eccrine sweat glands are under the arms.
Can we improve the smell of our sweat?
Well, deodorant is the obvious thing. Typically, people's sweat doesn't smell until they hit sort of pre-adolescence because that the smell is related to another gland, which is called the apocrine gland, which is a hormonally sensitive gland that kind of comes off the eccrine gland. And the apocrine glands do not become active until people hit pre-adolescence. So I'm talking about the age of 11 or, somewhere between 9 to 12, let's say. And that's when, parents might notice, oh, my kid was never whiffy, but now they are. But I think a greater problem in Australia, it's probably more obvious, is excess sweating, which is a medical condition, and that's called hyperhidrosis. So when people sweat a lot, some people have sweating a lot just under the arms, in which case there are some great treatments, and some people have what's called generalized hyperhidrosis, where they really need a tablet medication. What I think is really important for your listeners to know is that these are medical conditions and they can be treated. You don't have to put up with it. And in fact, I would say that treating excess sweating, particularly excess sweating under the arms, is actually one of the most satisfying things I do because it really makes such a difference to how people feel. They always wear dark clothes. I have one patient who says, every hour or so he runs to the bathroom and he tries to dry under his arms with the, with the hand dryer, and people said to him, oh, have you got a problem? Why are you always going to the bathroom? Like really embarrassing. Had another patient who was a hotel concierge, had very sweaty hands, and he's always shaking people's hands. So, yes, these things don't kill people, but they really affect their quality of life.
Does it
And
dehydrate you?
if you sweat excessively, good question. No, not especially. No, it doesn't dehydrate you. It's more just that people can be drenched with sweat. Our natural body's what's called homeostasis, so where the body tries to self-regulate itself, is that if we are a bit dry, that will trigger us to drink more water. So it will trigger something in our brain so that we then drink more water. More the issue with excess sweating is just the look of it, the feel of it. Sometimes we have school kids who's, they're dropping sweat droplets on their exam papers. They can't hold a pen or a pencil in an exam because it's slipping out of their hands. The other thing about excess sweating is it then makes you more prone to infection because areas are just bathed in moisture all the time. So people can get bacterial infections, they can get fungal infections like tinea, they can get thrush. So one problem can lead to another.
How do you know if it is excess sweat? If you are experiencing that, are you just realizing you're sweating more than others, or are there other signs you should be looking for?
No, it's really just that you think, gosh, no one else seems to have wet patches and no one else is dripping in sweat. It's only me. Or if they're sweating a lot on cold days, there's two types of sweating. There's what's called emotional sweating, which is where people sweat a lot in relation to, significant stress, and it's independent of temperature. And then there's what's called phasic sweating, which is sweating that is more related to the season. And often excess sweating is familial, which means it runs in the family. So quite often, and it's always part of a consultation that I'll ask that question, you know, does anyone else in the family have issues with excess sweating? For sweating under the arms, botulinum toxin injections, so Botox, is actually, if patients have a referral, they actually can get a Medicare rebate towards the cost of it. And then even better than that, if it's done well, is microwave technology to actually kill off those excess sweat glands. And that's, I have one of those devices that's called a Mirror Dry. So there's definitely options, and people shouldn't think, oh, look, there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to put up with it.
Sweating on
be
your
a big issue in Darwin
continue.
Too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, exactly. In the territory in general, I mean, depends. Yeah. Like whether you're in the desert or in, especially in the tropics, people yes. sweat very easily. But what about sweating on your palms? You hear that that saying about sweaty palms? Is that common?
Yep. Look, I don't know the statistical answer to that, but if people have what's called generalized hypohidrosis, then very commonly their palms will be involved as well. A lot of people sweat also from their hairline, so they can get sweat dripping down the forehead. Again, botulinum toxin or Botox can work very well for that. So if people have a lot of sweating all over the body, that's really when we're using a tablet to treat them. There are other options as well, but the first line for anything really is assessment, diagnosis, and then a plan.
Can sweating indicate other health issues, underlying ones?
Look, excess sweating rarely can be associated with certain things like thyroid. Excess thyroid causes people to be in what's called a hypermetabolic state, which is basically their metabolism's going too fast. They will usually have other symptoms, like they may be struggling to put on weight, they may have gut symptoms, excess sweating. Women will often sweat more when they're pregnant because, again, you've got what's called a hyperdynamic circulation. Your blood volume is increased and you're feeding this baby that's growing, and so you can often have excess sweating. Also, excess sweating, of course, with hormonal fluctuations, so premenopause and perimenopause and during the menopause. In terms of sweating being a sign of other underlying conditions, look, there are some rare tumours and things that could be associated with it, but I think it's important for your listeners to remember that common things occur commonly. They shouldn't be worried that they've got some weird tumour if they've got excess sweating. It can just be, you know, bad luck of the draw, or it can be something that's run in their family and that they have it as well.
What about people who don't sweat? I'm in that category. When I say don't sweat, I mean every now and then, maybe every couple of months, I might get a bit of sweat above my lip, but other than that, no water. I will still be gross. Like, I still need a spray, but like, I don't. No, there's no liquid, and I thought that was really normal until recently. I said to someone, "Yeah, not everyone sweats. About 50%. I made it up. I said 50% of people don't, and turns out that's not true. It's just my parents and myself.
No, it's not true. It's actually very rare to not sweat. And I mean, you probably do sweat. You just don't sweat much because true anhydrosis with no sweating is usually associated with other things. As I said, it's usually associated with conditions. It's usually a genetic condition, and it's associated with, you know, potentially issues with the hair, issues with the teeth, issues with the nails. So there are certainly people who don't sweat very much, for sure, but you probably still do sweat a bit. If you didn't sweat at all, then you would probably suffer from things like overheating. Is that an issue for you?
I get what I call the heat panics, where I'll be fine for hours and then I'll suddenly get really hot and go, oh gosh, and have to, you know, but that's after like 5 hours being in the sun, often working.
I think you've probably got what's called hypohidrosis, which is reduced sweating rather than complete lack of sweating. And that is much, much less common than excess sweating.
And safe?
Sorry, a mistake?
Is it safe, or am I pickling my insides as we speak by not getting anything out?
Well, I mean, is it safe? As I said, you're almost certainly sweating. It's just that you're not sweating as much as the average person. The main effect of having reduced ability to sweat is really on the ability to cool yourself down. So it's just about overheating. So for those people, they need to take extra precautions with that, keeping themselves cool, washing themselves off, not spending too much time in the heat, fans, air conditioning, all of that sort of things.
What about saunas and steam rooms? Those sorts of induced sweating, are they good for our bodies?
Look, I think it makes people feel good. This whole thing about we're excreting all our toxins. Yes, there are certain things that we excrete. I don't, it, there's, you know, it causes what's called vasodilatation. So it opens up the pores, it opens up the blood vessels so people can get quite red, people can get a bit of swelling. I mean, I think it gives the feeling of well-being, but does it actually medically really have much benefit? I'm not sure that we really have the scientific studies to support that.
I received a message saying that lemons are good to use under your arm to get rid of the smell of sweat. Have
Yeah,
you?
well, lemons are acidic. I mean, lemons certainly could be used. I mean, deodorant is probably the easiest thing. There are aluminium containing deodorants, and then there are aluminium free deodorants, of course, if people are worried about that.
Well, listen, we're diving deep into a bucket of sweat today here on Afternoons. Who knew there was so much to know? Thank you
Oh,
so much.
there's so much.
Oh my goodness. That's why you're all about it. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
You're most welcome.